loved ones who are no longer here to celebrate Christmas with you, and you're grieving. All you have left is memories of the relationship. Some of y'all are lonely, are struggling with financial strain and struggles and stress. Some of y'all have health issues. You know, you have these issues. You go to the doctor. You're tired of taking medication. Doctor keeps giving you another prescription after another. You're tired. When is it going to get better? Some of y'all are living with chronic pain day in and day out. And for many of us, we're just tired, y'all. We're burnt out. And we wonder if 2026 is going to be a better year for us. Just like Johnny in the story, the problem is we focus too much on our problems and our struggles, and we miss all that God has done for us in our lives. We sometimes have an attitude of ingratitude because we're focusing so much on our struggles, and we focus so much on what we want and we believe we deserve to have, and we forget what God has already given us. And so sometimes, not just that though, not only do we sometimes become ungrateful for what God has given us, what we have, but sometimes the struggles in life that we experience that put so much stress and strain on us that almost choke us compels us to question God's character. We begin to question God's goodness and ask questions like, how can a good God allow me to struggle like this? How can a good God allow me to go through this pain that I'm experiencing? How can a good God allow me to be so weighed heavy down with sadness and gloom? So today, my brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today, no matter where you are, no matter how rough this year has been, no matter how heavy the load you're carrying, there's a word today that will encourage our hearts. And that is a reason to be thankful for God's love. Amen. That's the title of this Advent message, is a reason to be thankful for God's love. And I have 3 points to encourage you that no matter how bad things are, you and I have a reason to be thankful. We have a reason to be grateful to God. Yes. And my first point is, if you're going to be thankful for God's love, you must first remember that God's love for you is undeserving. God's love for you and I is undeserving. Paul writes this letter to Rome, and he starts out the first 11 to 12 chapters, 11 chapters talking about doctrine, that we were all sinners. He talks about how we've been justified, how we've been sanctified, that Christ was the propitiation for our sins. And then he goes on in chapter 5 to talk about the love of God for us. In chapter 5, verse 6 through 8 says this, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For a woman hardly died for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his love towards us, and yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Paul does a very, very clever, he uses a clever method of putting together, laying out 3 conditions of man. He says the righteous, the good, and the ungodly. And he says that God, Christ died for the ungodly while we were still helpless. In other words, our condition before Christ, pre-Christ, we were helpless, we were sick, we were infected with the parasite called sin, we were stricken with the disease of wickedness and evil, we had a wretchedness, our hearts deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. We were in poor condition, undeserving of God's love and worthy of hell itself. But Christ, even in our brokenness, even in our wretchedness, Christ died for us. And to paint this picture of the magnitude of God's love, Paul paints a picture of 3 different people with 3 different conditions. He says, the righteous man, he said, hardly someone died for a righteous man. And the word that Paul uses here for righteous is not theologically righteousness, but what he means is morally righteous. Someone who does good, someone who does what's right and just and right in the sight of others. You know someone like that. For a matter of fact, Barack Obama is one of those. I feel, now you may disagree, no problem. But I view President Barack Obama as a righteous man who does always wants to do right for the people. But my question to you is, do you love Obama enough to die for him today? Do you love him enough to die? Okay, not hardly, but perhaps for a good man, you may dare to die. Do you know any good men or women? A good man, not necessarily righteous, but the one who does good in helping others. He's committed to helping and serving others for their well-being. Do you know any good men? Well, our own pastor, Dr. D.C. Coffey, is a good man. Not perfect. I'm not perfect either. Work in progress. But he's a good man, a good pastor. Do you love Dr. Zizi Cofield enough to die for him today? Some of you will say, yes, I know you would. You have a straight vision. Not hardly. No. Righteous man. So in essence, Paul says this. For a righteous man, you wouldn't die for a righteous man, and you certainly wouldn't die for someone less than righteous, a good man. But what about a ungodly man? Would you die for someone who's a known criminal? Huh? Do you love a person enough to die for them? When we call it love God and others, right? Even our enemies. But would you love a person enough to die for them, someone who's ungodly? Imagine this. Now, you all have seen this on television or news or whatever, where there's a house fire and the firefighters have to restrain the parents from running into the burning building to save their children because they're thinking that child is still there. You would do the same for your child, wouldn't you? Amen. If your child was in a burning house, you would run in there to save, you would risk your life for them. But what if the person in the burning building was not your child, but a known criminal? What if it was Diddy Combs? Y'all know Diddy. Oh, y'all know him. Hopefully you're not friends with Diddy. But if Diddy was crying out, help me, Sister Campbell, save me. Do you love him enough to save him? What about political activist Charlie Kirk? You don't know him? He said some terrible things about us. Would you love him enough to run into a burning building to save Charlie Kirk? Or what if it was police officer Derek, who put his neck on George Floyd's neck and his knee on George Floyd's neck until he died? Would you run into a burning building to save him? Paul says, while we were helpless, ungodly sinners, Christ stepped into the fire to raise us out of that fire, to take us to safety, because he loved us, even though we don't deserve it. Now, in society, criminals deserve punishment. Would you agree with that? But in the Word of God, criminals deserve death. Because the Word of God says the penalty of sin is death, right? So guess what? All of you are criminals. I am a criminal. Now you may say something like, I'm not a criminal. Maybe so, but have you ever cursed someone out? Have you ever lied on someone? Have you ever committed character assassination, talking about a person behind their back? Have you ever committed adultery? Have you slept with someone you're not married to? Have you taken something that doesn't belong to you? And if you've done, are you envious of someone who have more than you do? To be envious is to be angry with someone because they have something that you want, they have it and you don't. If you've committed any sins against the Word of God, if you violated God's word to any degree since birth, you are declared a criminal. You are a violator of God's law. But even in the midst of that, we can thank God that he loves us unconditionally. That we don't deserve it. We're criminals. We're unworthy. But he loves us anyway. Because the word says For while we were what? Still helpless. Still stuck in our sinful state. Still worthy of death. At the right time, Christ died for you and I. Just as Christ entered the world in humility, born in a manger, he entered our life when we had nothing to offer but our wretchedness. God didn't love us because we were valuable. We were valuable because God loves us. 1 John 4:10 says this. Let's read it together. And this is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So my brothers and sisters, if you're going to be thankful for the love of God, you must first realize that God's love for you is undeserved. We can't deserve it. We don't deserve it. And not only that, secondly, you must realize that God's love for you saves you. God's love for you saves you. And Romans chapter 5, verse 9, it says, much more then, now having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We've been justified by the blood of Christ because of God's love for us. We've been justified. That word justified means to be declared as righteous. Not only that, but how did we become declared as righteous? Because of the blood that was shed on the cross. The blood of Christ was an atonement for our sins, and then we were saved, y'all. The blood of Christ saves us from eternal death, from the misery of punishment, consequences of sin. From what? Not just death, but God's wrath. The God's divine judgment inflicted upon the wicked and the unrighteous. Jesus came to save us and not to condemn us. Consider a person drowning in the ocean. They don't need swimming instructions from the shoreline. They need someone to jump in and save them. They need a rescuer. I remember once I was young. I'm a fisherman. Y'all may know that. Some of you, you all may know it. I'm a fisherman, and I was probably in my early 30s. And I was on Galveston Beach, surf fishing. The water was a little rough that day. And I was fishing in the surf. And suddenly, you all, I got caught in a rip current. You ever heard of that before? A rip current is a sudden movement of water, a rushing of water in one direction that goes out to sea. And many people have drowned at San Luis Pass because of rip currents. So luckily, I had read an article prior to getting caught in that rip current that says once you get caught in a rip current, you just hold your breath, take a deep breath, and ball yourself up and let the current take you. And after a few seconds, it'll let you go. Don't panic. So listen, I held onto my rod and reel and balled up. Now, I wasn't letting my rod and reel go. I paid too much for it. So I got my rod right here, and I'm balling up. And let it take me out, right? So then I finally, it let me go, and I started walking back to shore. Now, for a moment, I was underwater completely, submerged. So as I started making my way back to the shoreline, I saw a couple looking from the shoreline like this. They were watching me. And I said, and I finally got close to them, they said, we were just trying to see if you were all right. What you mean? I'm under the water, you got your camera out, you trying to catch some pictures and photos of me drowning for the news. You didn't jump in and try to save me. Huh? What I'm saying is, I was caught, I made my way back. You can't depend on nobody to save you. People will let you down. My dad said this. He said, friends will say, I will be your friend to the end through thick and thin. My dad said, but when it gets thick, they thin out. They thin out quick. You're by yourself, y'all. But glory be to God that while we were drowning in our sin, while we were struggling to make it, He didn't stand on the shoreline and say, kick more, paddle more. Come on, save yourself. No, he jumped into the dark waters of sin, and he pulled us out. He saved us. He didn't come to coach us from the shoreline. But we were on our way to hell, and he plunged beneath the waters of sin and pulled us out. So God loves you, y'all. He came from heaven so that you and I can be saved. And now we stand at peace with God. We are secure with God. We are forgiven in Christ. And he loves us that much. So you're going to be thankful for God's love. You must remember first that God's love for you is undeserved. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Huh? We can't earn God's love. Even while we were sinners, criminals, he died for us. And then not only that, not only is God's love undeserving, you must realize that God's love for you saves you. And lastly, if you're going to be thankful for God's love, you must realize that God loves for you, love for you is a cause to rejoice. It's a cause to rejoice. Paul wraps it up in verse 11, chapter 5 of Romans. He says, and not only this, but we exalt in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Not only were we recipients of God's unmerited love, not only God's love saves us, but Paul says, God, the blood of Christ compels us to boast in our God. And through the blood of Christ compels us to celebrate reconciliation. Paul says, I exalt in. That word exalt means to boast about something, to brag about something, to celebrate an accomplishment, to celebrate a great achievement, to brag, to scream out loud for the victory that has been won. Now, right now we're in football season, approaching the end, playoff season. And some of y'all are Dallas Cowboy fans. Cowboys, any Cowboys in the house? Oh, boo. Kansas City Chiefs, Steelers, the Eagles. All right. When your team has 3 seconds left in the game and they're behind, need a touchdown. 3 seconds. Just enough time to hike the ball and to toss, throw the ball. And if your team is losing and they score a touchdown in the last 3 to 5 seconds, everybody in the stadium is going crazy. They're going high fives. They're yelling. Strangers are giving high fives. I'm not sure about y'all, but I went to a Texas game and Texas scores a touchdown. Everybody's high-fiving each other's. Hey, yeah, shoot, yeah, woo. Woo, he said, ooh. Scream out. Touchdown. That's how we ought to be responding to God's love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was your enemy, but you still love me. You saved me. When I couldn't save myself, when I was drowning, you pulled me out. That should be enough to help compel us to celebrate, to rejoice in what God has done. I remember a song called Family Reunion by the OJs. Some of y'all are too young for that. And some of the lyrics goes like this. It's so nice to see all the folks you love together, sitting and talking about all the things that's been going down. It's been a long, long time since we've had a chance to get together. Nobody knows the next time we'll see each other, maybe years and years from now. And it says, family reunion. Got to have a family reunion. Family reunion. It's so nice to come together, to get together, and to get together, and he does his thing. Family reunion. Reconciliation, y'all. I remember, this is a true story. I was at a family gathering years ago. And a few members of their family were enemies of each other for a long time. Years. Couldn't stand each other. And they were there at this family gathering. And they were angry with each other. They had been cursing each other. They've been talking about each other behind their back, sabotaging their character, each other's character. They were unwilling to forgive each other. They were hating each other, y'all, hating over. And then here we go at this gathering, and somebody said something. Here we go. Y'all have some fools in your family, don't you? You know who they are. So they start talking and start going back and forth. And say, oh, Lord, here they sit getting riled up. Here we go. And they start, one person said another something, another person said something, man. And now they're up, hey, 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 and going at each other. And somebody came between them and said, y'all need to stop this. Y'all too old for this. We're a family. We need to deal with this. Y'all both wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. So it was silence for a moment. And then one of them said, I take responsibility. I was wrong. I said some things I should not have said. And I've done some things to hurt you. I apologize. I confess my wrongdoing in this. And they're right. We're too old for this. Life is short. Will you forgive me? By this time, y'all, some of us was getting teary-eyed, including me. Tears started to flow a little bit. Then the other one, yes, I forgive you, but here's my fault in this as well. You're not the only one. I wronged you as well. I hurt you. And I can understand why you can be angry with me. I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? And by this time, y'all, everybody crying. And everybody's in a hug, a big circle hug, hugging each other. Why? Because the relationship that was broken had been restored. Jesus saved us. He has reconciled us to God. Why? Because he got between a holy God and a sinful, ungodly, wicked person like we are. He came between us and he made petition on our behalf. He died for our sins. Why? So we can be reconciled to God. We are the sons of God, the daughters of God. A broken relationship that was once broken, that was severed, has now been restored. And we can celebrate that, y'all. So listen, you and I have a lot to be thankful for. Yes, 2025 have been tough for some of us. Yes, it's been a struggle for some of us. Yes, it's been painful for some of us. But we can't focus on our struggles. We got to focus on the one who sustains us in our struggles. The one who keeps us through it all and all. The one who's a faithful God, who will never leave us nor forsake us. The word of God says that God is near to the brokenhearted and those who are broken spirit. He says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us from them all. He's a faithful God. We have a lot to be thankful for. I told you a story about Johnny, ungrateful Johnny. I know it's not your son. You don't have a son like that. I told you about ungrateful Johnny. Dad bought him a gift, slammed it on the floor, walked away because it wasn't what he wanted. But then on the other side, at the same time this happened, in New Mexico, there was a kid named Juan who was in a orphanage for children who had been abandoned. Those who didn't have any family, who had been abandoned, homeless children. And it was a shelter. It was just one big room. No central air and heat. Rat infested, roach infested. Some kids died because they were sick and could not get any medical attention. Some kids died because of starvation. Wasn't enough food to go around. No carpet, no wood floors, cement. There wasn't any beds. And it was 18 to 20 kids in this particular orphanage. So on Christmas Eve, a pastor came by with a truck full of toys. There wasn't new toys. Some of them were used toys. But nonetheless, his truck was full of toys. So he pulls up to this orphanage. He starts giving these toys out to different kids. You have this, you can take this, you know. And kids were happy. But then he noticed, apart from the group, the kids, there was one kid that was in a corner with his head bowed down in a state of hopelessness and despair on the cold concrete floor. So he had one toy left in his truck. And this boy's name was Juan. So he said, Juan, I got a gift for, come on, son, raise your head up. I got something for you, just for you. He went to his truck and pulled out a bicycle. It wasn't a new bike. The handlebars of the bike were crooked, bent. There were missing spokes on the tires, on each tire, front and back. But Juan was so excited, y'all. He began to jump for joy. Whoa! He was, I got a bike. So he got on that bike. He started riding around the parking lot, up and down the street. He was excited, yelling and screaming and enjoying that gift. And then not only that, the pastor was his heart was so overflowed for this young man, one, that he decided to adopt one. He brought one into his home as a son. The pastor became the father, and one became the son. Now he's at a warm bed to sleep in. He's no longer in that dark place, but now he's in a place where he can experience life in abundance. Now he's in a place where all of his needs are met and lacking nothing. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that you and I were in a dark place. We were doomed to hell. We were worthy of hell, wicked and wretched. But God, in his love for you and I, sent his son to earth in a manger. He was beaten, he was whipped, he was spat upon, and he was nailed to the cross, and he bled and he died. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. And he's the King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. Because of what he's done, we are now called heirs of God. Jesus is our friend, he is our brother, and God is our Father. So we can boast in the Lord. Why? Because of his sufficiency. We can rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because of his goodness. We can celebrate God. Why? Because of his long-suffering. He puts up with us. He's a long-suffering God. He's a faithful God. He's a good God. He's a merciful God. And he loves us unconditionally. He sustains us in times of trouble. We can cast all our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you and he cares for me. Aren't you glad about it today, y'all? Well, we have something to be thankful for. Aren't you glad? Because he loves us. We don't deserve it. He saved us. We can brag on him. And we can be reconciled to God. And we are reconciled to God. Yes, listen. Troubles is tough. But God has kept us. He has a track record. We don't know what tomorrow brings. But we're going to trust in him. Why? Because he's in control of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Let's be thankful, y'all. And with that being said, Maestro Elder Taylor has what I believe was an appropriate song to close the message today.
I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you cared for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart, my mind, my soul belongs to you. You paid the price for me way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you cared for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise.
Do you love him today? Is your heart filled with praise? Does your soul belong to him? Does your heart belong to him? Everything that you and I are belong to God. He's our master, our Lord, our King, and our sustainer. So be thankful today. Let there be a new start for your life. No matter how tough it's been for this year, no matter how much you grieve, no matter how lonely you feel, no matter how heavy the pain or the grief that you're experiencing, trust in God. Give it to Him. Surrender to Him and let Him guide your way. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we thank you that even though life is tough, the struggles are difficult, the burden is heavy sometimes, Lord, we're going to trust in you. And we're going to be thankful, Lord, not to keep our eyes on our problems of yesterday, but we're going to keep our eyes in front of us of what you are in our lives today and what you have already done in our lives. Lord, you've already blessed us. And if you don't bless us anymore, you've blessed us enough. So, Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your love that's unconditional. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing us. Thank you, Lord, for reconciliation that we are your children. We thank you. We love you. We commit our hearts, our minds, our soul to you today. Have your way. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you stand? Now you all, we've all heard the word. We've heard the message. It's about God's love for us. And as some of you all under the sound of my voice today don't know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, we want to take this time to give you a personal invitation to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Listen, when you come, we won't laugh at you, but we're going to celebrate and rejoice with you and walk with you through the process of restoration and healing. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will remain a criminal worthy of death. But if you come and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, believe in his birth, death, and resurrection, you shall be saved. So will you come now? Anyone, will you come now?
I love you. I love you, will Lord, you come? Today.
Will you come?
Because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise.
Will you come?
I lift you up. I magnify your name.
Will you come?
That's why my heart is filled with praise.
Up or right? Up or down? I invite you to come.
Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you, I lift you up, I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise.
Now, you know, some of you are your. Some of you all have known you've been trying to carry this load all by yourself. You've been trying to make it through this all by yourself. But you can't make it through isolation. We need each other, and that's why we are here. The church is here to serve you. The church is here not to condemn you. Amen. Amen. The church is here to lock arms with you and to walk you through the process of healing and restoration. So you don't have to struggle by yourself. So someone else. Now you all, somebody said, okay, somebody come first, I'll come. Now you said that. So now it's your turn. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, my sister. Now it's your turn to come. And let me just give you one more picture. You got to, I want you to see this now. Just how precious are the magnitude of God's love for you and I. And the death of the power of the message of the death of Jesus on the cross is so powerful that it's mind-blowing. A pastor was at a church one Sunday, and he was getting ready to preach the sermon after praise period. And As he stood in the pulpit and looked out upon the faces of the audience, he saw a face he recognized and sitting in the back, an old man. He said, I was going to preach a sermon, have a sermon prepared, but I got a good friend, longtime friend. He'll sit in the back. I'm going to invite him up to preach tonight, today. So this old man got up out of his chair and slowly made his way to the pulpit. The deacons had to help him up the stairs, up in age. He gets to the pulpit, y'all, and he preached a 2-3 minute sermon. Hear what he said. He said, a father was on a boat and took his son and his son's friend, who was an unbeliever. His son's friend was an unbeliever. He took him out on this sailboat out for the Florida coast, and a storm came up, and the boat capsized. And the father had a life raft, a life reserve. He made a choice. He said, I either throw it to my son, who's a believer, or do I throw it to my son's friend, who's an unbeliever? So the father made his mind up and threw that life reserve to his son's friend and waved goodbye to his son as his son perished beneath the deep waters. And he said, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know Jesus, Lord and Savior, all you have to do is believe in the Son, Jesus Christ. He is the Lord and Son of God, that he died for your sins and he's been raised from the dead with all power in his hands, that he is the Son of God, and you shall be saved. And he sat down. So after the service, two young men came to him and said, oh man, I heard your word, but it doesn't make sense. It blows our mind. How can a father allow his son to die for someone who is ungodly? He said, so the old man said, it don't make sense to me either. But he looked up into the young man. He said, let me tell you this though. The truth of the matter is, I am the father in that story. And my son's friend is now your pastor. Amen. So I'm saying is, accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Who knows where God's going to take you? But I tell you what, you won't be the same. So we ask you right now, last invite. Come on now. If you know you need the Lord, you need to accept him as Lord and Savior, we invite you to come now. Please come. As
that's
Maestro sings.
Why my heart is filled with praise. I love you.
Up and down.
I love you, Lord, today. Because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify your name. That's why my
stretch out our hands, brothers and sisters, this couple that's come. Lord, we thank you for this couple who have come. They have surrendered, Lord, to you. Have your way with their hearts. Have your way with their minds. Make a fresh, a new, Lord, their path in life. Meet them where they are and take them where you want them to go. And may they give you the glory and the honor that is rightly due your name. We pray for everyone else, Lord, who thought about coming, that decided not to, that you continue to open their hearts through your Holy Spirit so they may see and hear your word and respond and embrace you as Lord and Savior. We thank you. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Good Hope, it's time for the offering. All right, now, I'm going to act like Ronald Bell today. Come on, church. You can do better than that. Good Hope, it's time for the offering. Amen, 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 amen. God's been so good to us, and everything that we have belongs to him. So all we're doing is giving back to God what he's already blessed us with. So if the Lord leads you, please give. The deacons are coming around with their baskets. Also, there's several ways you can give. There's a QR code. There's a cash app. You can give on a Hope website. And so whatever works for you, if you write a check, make it good, all right? Make it good. And God is doing so many wonderful things in and through your giving. It's just been a tremendous blessing to this church family. And you all know we've grown exponentially. We're reaching the community with food drives, and we are having different events here where we're serving the community and serving people, the unchurched and unsaved, and your blessings. We could not do that. The lights are on because of your giving. The heater is on because of your giving. So we appreciate you making the sacrifice, and the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Amen. So at this time, we good? All right, so at this time, we're going to have our baby dedication. It's a family of Shane Sabel Alexander in the house today. Shane Sabel Alexander. Anyone? All right, I ask you to come up, please. Family, if you can come forward. And friends, if you want to join the family as they come forward, you're welcome to do so. Children are a blessing from God to the family. Children are a blessing from God to families. And y'all look nice. Matching blue. Man, she has a teddy bear. The baby sister got a teddy bear. Beautiful family. Beautiful family. And we have here before us family, parents, friends of Shane Alexander. And we also want to, Shane is the daughter of, let's see here. Okay, I got it. She's daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Larry and Shelby Alexander. And they have come acknowledging and professing their dependence on the Lord to raise this child. And Shane Sabel Alexander was a gift to them on November the 20th, 2024. Amen. And hey, y'all, praise the Lord for that. 30th, July 3rd. Okay, I'm sorry. That's okay. It's the gift. She's the gift. And we want to acknowledge also Shane's grandparents who are going to be part of this village. Larry Alexander Sr. And Patricia Alexander, along with Lonita Williamson and Herman Colley Jr., who are also part of this village. I want to state at this time that we're going to go ahead and commit the dedicational vows, and I want the parents to respond with "we do," okay?